That's complicated stuff. Well, we can't not have a little bit of fun when there's like a big barn behind you and cows staring at you, and we are on the eve of Vacation Bible School awesomeness, which, by the way, just so you know, we're going to tear down this whole building. I think I mentioned that, but if you want to help stack a few chairs as you wrap up this morning, feel free to do that. Not now, Nate. I appreciate you trying to do it right now and leave, but stay for a few minutes if you would. No, I'm just kidding. You didn't try, but I just beat you to the thought. That's all that was. And a couple other key things maybe I should mention. I did not wear this shirt for any reason, Kyle and Tori, at all, to show that I knew a secret and didn't say a word about it. Just want to say that. Want that out there. Random wardrobe selection. But I did it, and I didn't blow anything. So that's good, right? We'll call that success. Super excited for you guys. And that just means we're building our VBS base. So way to go, guys. Good work. Good work. Keep it up. All right. Hey, how many of you guys ever do the whole like Wheel of Fortune stuff? Is this what old people do? I mean, I don't really know. I know you can't like raise your hand because old people watch it, but then you're like, I kind of like it. But here's my problem is it involves spelling. And things that involve spelling are usually problematic for me. But you know what? Let's give it a shot anyhow. Here we go. Let's just do one, you know, because it's church. You should have a little fun at church. It's kind of one of my feelings in general that if you sit through a sermon bored out of your mind the whole time, I'm not doing a very good job of delivering the message God's given me, because some of it should be painful. Some of it should be ouch, right? That's fair. Some of it should maybe be like, whew, okay, that's heavy. And then some of it should be, oh, I can breathe half a second and then dive back in. So this is the breathe half a second part. Anybody get the puzzle yet? Well, let me give you a couple things to help you out. Let's throw a couple U's in there. Maybe that'll help kick you an L. That could be good. You want to buy an S, Nate? I see that right there. Three S's, actually. Come on, guys. Come on. Slow it down. You're ruining all the fun. Jesus likes you. No, it's loves. Okay. Jesus also loves you. Good job. All right. Well, here's the whole reason we're wasting our time with some ridiculous Wheel of Fortune this morning. Not because that's not an important message, because it is. In fact, it might be one of the most important messages that you ever hear. Jewel, the message that Jesus loves you resonates for years with people, and they keep hanging on to it, right? And little kids tomorrow are going to hear Jesus loves you. And I want you to hear today, too, Jesus loves you. He loves you. I get it. I don't know why you're not that lovable, but he does love you, right? He loves me. I don't know what he's thinking, but he does. And that's pretty cool news. And also, he wants you to have some hope and some joy in your life. I loved, Mom, what you shared with the young people. Like, I'm talking a lot this year with some of my students in my school, about, or the school I teach at, where they're kind of like, man, do you feel like everything's hopeless, Mr. Waite? And it's fun to look into the eyes of these young people who are like, this is my time. I don't get to be 18 any other time but this one. And the whole world is telling me there's no hope. But is there some hope? And guess what, man? If you know Jesus, there's some hope. And there's some reasons to have joy. And so I've been walking by my wife's Scrabble board that hangs on our wall, and I noticed something really cool that jumped out at me this week. Just super cool. It just grabbed me, because I've had this thing on my desk in my office at the church where I've been playing with this idea of this phrase, joyful always, as kind of a call to people walking in the midst of great darkness, but anchored in hope and joy. And I've been playing with this idea, and playing and praying for me mean the same thing when God and I are talking, I think. But praying through this to say, Lord, is this something you want to have your people hang out on a little bit this summer? Maybe it's the summer of a joyful always attitude all summer long, right? The summer of being joyful always. I don't know. I don't know if it will be or not, but we're going to do it today, because he had my wife put it on the board at our house to get my attention, which sometimes, like, we didn't coordinate that, Jane, right? Because I don't listen very well, and you know that, and so, okay, you wouldn't, so you put it in big letters, that's perfect. If you're a Scrabble fan, you're going to notice a couple key things here. One, what is going on with that A, right? That was Covey, our dog's contribution to our Scrabble board. They are magnetic, but they do fall down, and she is good at chewing stuff up. So That's kind of our tribute there. And then you're going to notice these two, we call them what? Blanks, right? Same stare I get during a good joke during the sermon. Blanks, right? I get this. Know what a blank is. So these blanks, if you play Scrabble, can be whatever you want them to be. And in this case, what letter do they represent? Why? Why? I think it's kind of interesting, this why. It makes me think of why. And why joyful? And there's two, right? Why always? And what I love about what God sent me this message this week, confirming what it was that I thought I was supposed to be talking to you about this morning, was this crazy little board, specifically with two whys missing. Because I think that's the key question. Why be joyful? Look at the world. Look at the circumstances. Look at the situation. Look at all the events. Look at the health and all the things I'm dealing with. Why be joyful? In fact, I'll ask you again. Why? Two times, right? Well, it reminds me of what Paul says to the church in Philippi when he says, rejoice in the Lord. Heck, I'll say it again. Rejoice, right? A little duplicity, right back at you. Why, God? Why should I be joyful? Why should I be joyful always? And yet, it's the call that God has to his people. And it's also not just something he says, do this, it's hard. He says, you can. And he even says, you should. You should be joyful. Now, I mentioned the spelling thing, so I'm going to cheat and I'm going to throw another L on there, which I know in Scrabble would not get me any points. And also, if you're an English person, it's not going to give me any points currently. I get that too. But I think it's a better picture of this word joyful, because God's call to his people and what his people ought to be living is a full of joy kind of life. Now, I don't mean some kind of like blessings in a box, get whatever you want, there's never hard things kind of joy. I mean a deep, anchored fullness of joy. In fact, let's take a look at this scripture that we just referenced. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Do you ever wonder sometimes why your mom repeats herself when giving you instructions? Jed, why do you think mom repeats herself? No idea. It doesn't even make sense, right? It's like, what are you doing? I didn't listen the first time. I'm not going to listen this. Oh, no, that's not what you mean, but I got you, right? Like, we repeat ourselves when what? It's important, right? Or when we're not doing it, right? Like when Jamie says, I told you to do, no, I'm just kidding, right? That's not how it works, right? Not in our house. It's usually dad. I told you. No, nobody pays attention in our house. Anyways, moving on. Joyful always, rejoicing always. I want to say it to you again, rejoice. Because see, I think the church in Philippi was under some difficult circumstances and navigating some real tensions and hardships and challenges. And Paul takes the opportunity to say, rejoice. No, you're not listening. I'm serious. Rejoice. Have joy. So let's unpack this. This word rejoice, it's this kara word in the Greek, and it means this, to be glad. To be glad. Now, I had an epiphany this week. Nobody uses the word glad, right? Hey, glad to see you. Nobody uses that anymore. I think because gladness and Gladys sound like old things, right? So if you know Gladys, I apologize. Or if your kid's named Gladys, if Gladys was on the list, Tori, Kyle, I am sorry. Man, that's a bum deal. Okay, awkward moment. All right, but gladness is kind of an old word. But this picture, be glad in the Lord. Always be glad. It evokes this concept in the Greek of the word joy and cheer, but not just surface level, right? It is the full cheer, full of cheer, joy, full of joy. Like your cup is overflowing with joy. The instruction to the follower of Jesus Christ is that we are to be glad, that we are to be joyful, that we are to be cheerful. The Greek uses this picture, exceedingly great joy. So that's not just a full cup. That's a cup that runneth over, you might say, right? Joyful. So this call to be joyful, full of joy always, is the picture that God uses right here in this passage for us. Rejoice in the Lord. And there's a really important word in here that maybe we miss. So I'm going to highlight it in typical 90s fashion for you. This little tiny word, in. Rejoice in the Lord always. Say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always, right? This in word is key. And if you think about this phrase, it kind of evokes a question. Maybe this question. What do you rejoice in? I've been wrestling with this question this week. What is it that brings me joy? What is it that I find joy in? What do I rejoice in? What do I be glad in? Is it money? Is it a house? Is it a job? Is it a career? Is it a relationship? Some kind of temporary financial security? Where is this sense of joy and gladness anchored in your life? What do you rejoice in? When there's hard things and difficult things, do you rejoice? When Culver's does midnight toffee finally as the flavor of the day, do you rejoice? What's your joy in? What do you rejoice in? I think this is a key question, guys. I think it's a really important question. Because I would challenge you that a lot of people who claim to be following Jesus Christ are finding or seeking to find their joy in a whole lot of other things rather than rejoicing in the Lord. They're rejoicing in circumstances, situations, what looks like maybe security. And if the money isn't there, and if the health isn't there, and if the circumstances are rough and turbulent, well, there's no joy. And there's no even expectation of joy. I want to challenge you with this truth. I think that joy ought to be a defining characteristic of a follower of Jesus Christ. If you are a miserable person, if you are a person who is not cheerful or joyful, and you walk around miserable and negative, I'm going to challenge you that that is not a fruit of the Spirit listed in Scripture. And that is not a picture of a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're a miserable Christian, I would just challenge you to really look at your life and say, am I following Jesus? Am I finding my joy in Jesus? Or am I finding my joy in my circumstances? Because if you're following your circumstances, then when things are great, you're a cheerful person. But man, when things bottom out and are hard, and you're a miserable person, and your attitude stinks, well, that's just evidence of where your joy is anchored. That's all it is. Because if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and your joy and your hope is anchored into the reality of my sins are forgiven, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is nothing this world can throw at me that isn't just temporary and seasonal, and there is a great destination and hope ahead of me, that's got to be the picture of the heart of the follower of Jesus Christ. Scripture says to us in Psalm 68, the righteous will be glad and rejoice before God. They will celebrate with joy. And we have this scripture here in Psalm from the King James, New King James. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Now, this word gets beat up a little bit. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Most new translations don't use the word happy, but the King James did. I'm glad they kept it in the New King James translation because it's an element that gets set on the side all the time by the pious, righteous Christian who is disgusted by the sin of the world and scowls at everything around them in the name of righteousness. No, I'm not saying we shouldn't hate sin. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be turned off at the darkness that we see. But there is no excuse for gladness and joy to not be present in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. So your body's starting to fall apart. Oh, that's going to happen. Well, the finances aren't what I thought they'd be. Oh, it's temporary anyhow. Oh, my house that I thought, no, come on, it's all going to burn, right? Here's the reality. Our hope, Our joy is anchored in the stuff of this life. And friendship with the world is hostility towards God, and loving the world is hating God, he says. What are we chasing? What are we anchored to? What is our hope in? See, if the job's not working out, or the finances aren't working out, or the physical stuff isn't working out, and you're anchored to Jesus, then you have a perspective that says, okay, not a fun challenge, and maybe I'm not happy in the emotional sense, but I am glad in a deep reservoir of joy because of who my God is, because of what the reality of my situation really is, and that I get to see it. And I look at the people around me who are drowning, and I'm not anything but sad for their situation and their perspective, because they don't know the hope of Jesus, and they don't know the joy of Jesus. In fact, this joyful always is gonna, I'm gonna do something here for you that I think will help. Tim, you got that audio ready? Because some of us struggle with memorizing Bible verses, right? How many of you guys have a hard time memorizing some Bible verses? Fair? I do. Super hard. I get distracted. I'm like, I really don't want to own that reality, but maybe God's like, move on, son. It's not just Jamie staring at me. All right, so let me just help you out with this. This is going to be your chance in this sermon for an epic Bible verse memorization moment, all right? Together, we are going to memorize 1 Thessalonians 5:16, and this is going to help us as we navigate our role and responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ. You ready? This is a tough one. I don't know if you know it or not. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is this, with a B in front of it. Be joyful always. It's not spelled like that. But hey, let's just go, let's go hardcore texting and just make it a B, right? Oh, there it goes. Sorry. A B. Be joyful always. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. B. Okay, now close your eyes. Not yet. Too soon. Too soon. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Look at that. You guys got this crushed. It's going to be harder for you to remember 1 Thessalonians 5:16, right? That's the hard part, stinking numbers and math. But be joyful always. Now, some of you are like, that's still too hard. Still way, way, way too hard. So the new NIV translation dumbed it down even more for you, and it simply just says rejoice always, okay? Rejoice always, which just means be joyful always. So if we look at this passage, I'm going to cheat and do some more bad English. Let's do this. Let's turn this into all ways. Because that's really what it's saying, right? As followers of Jesus Christ, we are to have gladness in our hearts. We are to have hope and joy that is anchored deep, right? And it should be sometimes. It should be circumstantial or situational. Nah, always, every direction leads to joy. Every direction anchored to hope in Jesus Christ, right? Always, because joy should be the defining, a defining, shouldn't be the defining, I don't think. We got lots of the definings, but there's an A, hope, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. There's some more coming. I'm sorry, it's really hard to walk this path, right? But joy has got to be present in the follower of Jesus Christ, even when it's hard. And I think this is the most important thing, because here's the deal. Nobody is impressed with your faith in Jesus Christ when it's easy. When you live a charmed life, and everything is going your way, and you're like, yeah, I'm following Jesus. Everybody's like, yeah, sure you are. That's a piece of cake. You got it easy. If you had my life, if you're walking through my stuff. You guys remember a guy named Tim Tebow years ago? Yeah, I like that dude. I watched him when he won his playoff game and whatever. I mean, you have your own NFL opinions. I'm good with that. But I said something to my kids. I said, this dude is going to bottom out and have a terrible time, and I feel bad for what's coming for him, before he was getting mocked and ridiculed for his athletic ability. And I said it because I believed that this man had a platform and had a voice and was having an impact. And I believed with all my heart he was supposed to have an even greater impact and a sustainable impact, one that saw
when he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, what it looked like to follow Jesus, not just what it looked like to be Mr. NFL cool guy, right? And he has walked that out in an interesting way. And he's a dude, so, you know, he's human, so I'm not trying to hold him up as anything special, other than the concept to recognize that if we have joy when it's fun, that means nothing. The world sees that, and they're like, yeah, that looks fun. You shot confetti cannons. I'd be laughing and smiling, too. But when you're smiling when it hurts, and when you're smiling and giving hope and encouragement, when you feel miserable physically or emotionally, that's the substance of your faith. And people see it, and that transforms. Because people are like, how do I get that? How do I find that in my life? Loving Jesus when it's easy, that's nothing. But when it's hard, wow. Now there's substance, right? The disciples were very familiar with this. Jesus addressed this. Matthew 5, he's talking about persecution and hardships that come. And he says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I love how this gets packed in some different translations, use exceedingly glad. And then Luke, the gospel writer, records it as leap for joy. What a cool picture. Jesus says, it's going to get hard. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be dark days. The culture is going to go down the toilet. It's going to be a mess. Rejoice. Leap for joy for whatever you got to walk through, because great is your reward in heaven. Have perspective and joy anchored to eternity, not to the temporary, because there are some great things ahead of you, right? What a picture that is. In Acts, as they departed from the presence of the council after being flogged and beaten, what did they do? They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer. They were glad for the beatings. May they continue, right? What? That doesn't even, in America, we don't even understand that. It sounds like they have a sick mental health issue, and we would give them medication to deal with what they're dealing with. No, the reality is these dudes were tied to the eternal, and they recognized nothing mattered in comparison to knowing Christ and to following him. Joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. The question of what do you rejoice in maybe just needs to simply say, who do you rejoice in? And that needs to be Jesus Christ. But what is it that we rejoice in ought to be the hope that we have because of Jesus Christ. Because this world is not the end for us. The physical stuff is not the end for us. Nothing here lasts but the souls of men and women. It's all going away. We got to stop living like everything's about the temporary. We got to start living with our eyes fixed on Jesus, and how can we make an impact in eternity and invest in what matters, right? If we have eyes fixed on Jesus, we can hear the words of Paul and give him a double thumbs up. Rejoice in the Lord always. Say it again, rejoice. And I want to say this to you this morning. Some of you have some really hard things you're walking through. Probably most of us. And if you're not walking through anything really hard, you will. You will. And the substance of faith and your relationship with Jesus is not about what it looks like in the good times. It's about what it looks like when it's hard and when it's difficult. And does your life bear the fruit of joy? And it needs to. And some of you, some of me, we're facing challenges and trials that test this in us. And the natural propensity for us, our decision making, is to dead sprint in the opposite direction, to run and to hide, instead of to embracing the challenge of walking in joy in the midst of where we're at. Joyful always. Jesus calls you to joy. There is not a good excuse to not be joyful, no matter your circumstances. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be insensitive. You can cry and you can grieve and you can hurt and you're not going to laugh, maybe. All the disciples were martyred, burned at the stake, ripped apart, cut in two, thrown off buildings. They all died horrible deaths. And they weren't laughing and chuckling in the moment. But they were not in despair. They were filled with joy for having the opportunity to fulfill the mission God's called them to, with their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I would just challenge us as we look at our calendars and the events and the future and the environment and the horizon and everything around us, you can choose to walk in joy and in hope if you know Jesus. And our world desperately needs to see it. And maybe if enough of us do it, can we turn the thing around? Maybe. But it doesn't matter if we do, because it was never about turning the thing around, guys. It was always about following Jesus, no matter the cost. And that's what he calls us to. And we can have joy, and we can celebrate, and we can leap for joy, no matter what we face, because of who he is and what that means for our eternity, and even what that means for today, no matter the cost. Father, thank you for the challenging reality that we are to walk in joy. You know everybody in this room. You know everybody online. You know everybody who will ever observe this video on YouTube. And Lord, I pray that in the midst of whatever they're walking through, that they would choose to hold on to you. That they would choose to fix their eyes on you, the one who endured incredible pain and suffering for us. Because you knew the truth, and you knew reality, and you locked into it. So, Father, I pray you would help us. Help us to have a joyful summer. As we walk through this season, may the light of hope and joy just beam from each of us. That it might shine into the darkness that other people are stuck in or struggling with. And that it might push the darkness away in our own lives. Because you are good. And we trust you no matter the circumstance we walk through. We choose to fix our eyes on you and to chase after joy. Please help us to do that. And impact the world around us and the house that we live in by doing so. Thank you for loving us. And thank you that we can have hope that looks a whole lot like happiness and not misery because of who you are. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray all these things. Amen.